ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on a hump day? Look at that. We got new intros. We got Barry's name in on it.
Oh, was my name on it?
Yeah.
What?
You got to put your name on it, man.
Back on my name.
There you have it. Now we just need with Nick. Just like with Dell.
Yeah, right?
Nick, you need to start putting your foot down, man. Just say, hey, I need a little billing, too. I need with Nick.
Now, did we get a show name?
I can't lobby for my own name to be in the open.
Is it still just the Joel Blank Show with?
Which, by the way, I want to make sure everybody knows, I did not come up with, nor did I. Again, it's kind of like everything else that goes on around here. I do the show, but they don't feel it necessary to consult with me on anything that goes along with it. I just find out who I'm working with and what we're doing.
Why can't we get them to say Blank Stairs with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack?
Because I don't like it.
What?
That's a great name. I do like Point Blank. Point Blank and Point Blank Range is beautiful.
No, that's horrible.
No, it's not. Just for you, I'm going to push that now.
And just for you, I'm going to fight it.
With Sherry's Berries. Or Scary Berries.
I will not allow this.
Scary Berries.
I will not allow this foolishness, sir.
And Trap loves trap shooting, of course.
Oh.
Two best words in sports, gang. Nick, I quizzed you before the show and you failed miserably.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
It's Naked Cheerleader.
It is not Naked Cheerleader, right. However, your wife thinks that it is. Game 7.
Oh.
For those of you that did not watch, because two trees fell almost simultaneously last night, one fell a little earlier than the other.
I think we can stop saying that. I think people care about baseball and basketball.
Let's watch the phone lines.
We get tons of calls when we talk Rockets. We have.
No. Oh, yeah, we can get – no, yeah. And the Rockets thing will come around. It was just early in the season, it's tough.
I don't think we have to say anymore. I think everyone knows the World Series is
relevant. You just want me to stop talking. I mean, you want me to stop saying homosexual.
That one's bad.
There's all kinds of
– But I'm just saying that I think people think the World Series is relevant and that they watch the World Series. And the
I
same
hope
thing for
so.
The Rockets because it's something to do during the week.
I really do. I hope so. I hope that people have turned the corner and just said – I don't care if it's just because it's – the World Series and it's baseball at its top level, so you want to see it. But I hope they're tuning in because I really believe that Houston is a very passionately solid sports town.
I mean,
and it really, it bums me out when they don't follow baseball, which we've talked about, and the fact that they can't stand college basketball.
Well, here's the thing. I noticed this because I listen to a lot of different sports talk radio in this town,
mm-hmm.
Just because I like a lot of people on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that everyone says the same thing. They always say, I know you guys don't want us to talk about baseball, but we're going to talk about baseball. I know we do it. I know other shows on the station do it. I know other shows on other stations do it. And I think it's just time that all of us in Sports Talk Radio just stop prefacing that and just talk baseball. But you don't have to dwell on it for 2-3 hours for a whole show.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But just talk baseball, move on.
But I always leave it as an open forum. Look, we'll talk about what you want to talk about, but no one really – I can't say in the last 2 weeks we've had any calls where people wanted to talk about the World Series.
Well, you know what you should – when you should use that is like, listen, I know nobody out there wants to talk about bowling, but – and then you talk about bowling for a minute, but baseball is relevant.
That Big Lebowski. I mean, when he gets that hammer, which is a kind of bowling ball, when he gets that hammer spinning, playing that second arrow in, let me tell you something, he is lights out.
You partial to Big Lebowski or Kingpin?
I'm going Lebowski.
What?
I'm going Lebowski because of the Polish name. And, growing up, and here's the other thing. There's these arguments all the time, which are absolutely ridiculous, but people are passionate about it back where I come from.
Right.
So Milwaukee, in the minds of people that are Wisconsinites, Milwaukee is the beer capital of the world, which St. Louis claims now, and that's a fight. And they also claim to be, ironically, the bowling capital of the world, which, wait for it, St. Louis claims as well. So there's this constant battle over, we're the beer capital of the world and the bowling capital of the world. And then they say, the Bowling Hall of Fame is actually not in Milwaukee. Who cares, right? I mean, look, I grew up in Milwaukee, and just like religion, my parents made me start bowling when I was three, and I bowled in leagues from the time I was in first grade, and on the weekends, just like you went to church, we bowled with my entire family, my grandparents, everyone. We bowled every Saturday and Sunday morning.
Well, that's why I don't understand why you're not choosing Kingpin then. That's a bowling movie. Like, yeah. The Big Lebowski isn't a bowling movie. It's a movie with bowling in it.
True.
Kingpin is a bowling. Roy Munson and Ernie McCracken. Are you kidding
me? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Bill Murray. I mean, enough said.
Bill Murray, the Cubs fan, by the way, which we clearly pointed out because someone somewhere decided to say he was, including the Chicago Tribune, said he was actually a White Sox fan, which is completely false.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
As we bring it back full circle to baseball. So tonight, boys, Nick, will you be watching?
Yeah, I'll watch.
With one eye?
With one eye.
Okay. Why did you say it like that?
You're just not fired up. I mean, last night we talked before, and you said you and your brother were going to watch the Rockets game.
We watch, and then I watch.
You can watch both.
After the Grand Slam, I'm not going to lie, I fell asleep.
Well, it was
okay,
over.
That
literally, as soon as it happened, that was my tweet. It's over. This game is over. It's not going to happen. Because that's just, that was way too much.
I'll be honest with you. I said it was over when the Cubs got 3 in the first.
Really?
I thought that was like, whoever draws first blood in a game like that. And Arrieta wasn't, and you and I both said, because he was on the hill, they had a huge advantage. He wasn't his normal self, but he was good enough to get it done.
Right.
The air hurt a little bit, but I just think when the Cubs bats had to wake up, and when they did, it's good for the sport of baseball. Look, it's good because of the drama, because of how long it's been for both franchises. Anytime you get a Game 7, it's fantastic. Schwarber, again, is hitting the ball. That's a phenomenal story for the whole, Cinderella underdog coming back from knee surgery. And Corey Kluber's got a chance to do something tonight that puts him in rarefied air. He won Game 1. He won Game 4. If he wins Game 7... that's pretty ridiculous. I think Jose Rio was the last guy to win games 1 and 4, and I don't think even Corey Kluber knew who Jose Rio was except for he pitched for the Reds. But that's a hell of an achievement, and he's got a chance to make some serious history in more ways than one by taking the hill tonight.
Yeah, and Cleveland only getting 6 hits. It looks like their offense is not there for them right now. Cubs bust out with 13 hits, 9 runs. You get the grand slam. I think it's interesting, though, and I was losing my mind when Joe Maddon did it. Why they had Chapman up so early is beyond me.
It
was unnecessary. I mean, this isn't even a save situation at that point. And I didn't feel like they had a 5-run lead and they needed to get one out. You don't have anyone else in that bullpen that you trust to get the one out.
I'm with you. I let him get the one out. And then I think I'm done with him because you still, this is even before you got all the extra cushion. But like you said, you're not in a safe situation and you're probably going to call his number tonight. So I understand that the double play helped him out an inning later and he didn't pitch. I think he threw less than 20 pitches.
But you can't
at the same time. Yeah, I don't like putting any kind of extra any pitches on him.
Well, you bring in after Chapman goes 1 1/3, then you have to bring in Strope and Wood. Why not bring in those guys to get that one out? Save Chapman in case it does become a save situation. Because then if you got Strope in there, he pitched 2/3 of an inning. Maybe he can go 1 1/3 that Chapman had to pitch. And maybe Wood can give you an inning. And maybe you don't even have to use Chapman. Right now, Cleveland didn't have to use their bullpen.
Right.
And they're going in with undoubtedly maybe the best pitcher
in
the World Series
Montgomery came
right
in first. So Montgomery did a nice job. And he was steady. But Chapman doing an inning in a third, I think, was too much. I think get you out of the jam where you could have let Cleveland have a little hope. And once you close the door on that, was it the sixth inning? Then I just think, seventh inning? I think from that point.
Sixth. It was sixth, yeah.
Sixth inning, right?
Yeah, he got the third out of the sixth inning.
From that point on, I'm like, okay, we need you tomorrow night. You shut her down. We've got enough power in the bullpen that we should be able to get nine outs.
Yeah, he got the third out of the seventh inning. But again, why are you bringing him in? If that's what you consider a safe situation, a 5-run lead with a man on, what? I just don't agree with that because now Cleveland's bullpen, as good as it is,
don't think for a minute Andrew Miller might not be ready in the second inning tonight or third because
With Kluber going, I don't know that you need it. You've got Cleveland is looking good right now. They're at home. They've got their best pitcher and their bullpen is rested. I don't know.
Okay,
man.
But wait a minute. So before we get, and I know Nick, I hear it, but at the same time, Kluber pitched game
1 4. You said
4, right? Was it 4? Okay. So what's he working on rest-wise? He's still working on short rest.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and pull up the whole schedule.
Yeah, we got to pull that up for you. We're going to figure that out because at the same time, he's running on short rest, so that will factor in a little bit. But again, the two best words in sports, Game 7, it's tonight, it's Cubs, it's Indians, it's in Cleveland. It should be a good one. We have plenty to talk about. Like, there's a quarterback whisperer out there, and he's whispering without a team. Would you whisper to the boys on Kirby that even as a consultant, he may help your guy and help there be less stink in the BO? That and more, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
God, you just got to be loving that.
What?
The new billboards. They're solid. They got every. I like that. I want Nick's name in there, too, at some point.
Oh.
I think that's great. Hey,
no, so is that called a billboard? Is that the technical?
No, it's not. I don't know why he used the word billboard, but it's okay. I got what he was trying to say.
What would you call it? A rejoin?
An intro.
Intro's at the start of the show.
Ooh, in your face, Nick.
A rejoin is.
You can call it a rejoin, a bump back.
A billboard. I like billboard.
Yeah, we call them billboards. If there's a sponsor related to it, like in that case, we would call it a billboard because we have in-game. When I did basketball, we had in-game billboards and opening and closing billboards.
I like the song choice, too. Driving back from Fort Worth, I listened to like 3 Juvenile albums on the whole way back.
Did you listen to Back That Thing Up?
I sure did. I listened to the naughty version, though, because I'm a man, because I'm a grown man.
You do like to self-proclaim that a lot. The last guy that self-proclaimed a lot was the guy at Packers Notes, and he got annihilated.
Did he?
And Travis took care of business last night. It was actually rather funny.
I feel like I can hold my own better than the Packer Notes guy.
I would actually side with that.
I would welcome all the trolling on Twitter that you guys could possibly muster. I would be fine with me. It's all right. In fact, I was getting a ton of it yesterday and this morning from my Fort Worth story. Now people are like, hey, I want to come to a show just so I can check your oil. I'm like, well, I don't need this, guys.
Jeez. Scott in Deer Park is back to being his old self.
His
again,
cranky
too.
Self?
Yeah, his crotchety self because his University of Houston Cougars not only are out of the mix for a national championship, but they're falling out of every mix quicker than sands through the hourglass for his days of our lives. But he's crotchety as hell. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, a couple of folks are agreeing with me that Kingpin is better than Lebowski.
Yeah, and you know what? You're probably right. I just didn't. I mean, I just kind of.
It's a tough call. They're both good movies.
Humorously went with the Polish name for a guy that knows that Milwaukee's full of Polish, Germans, and a whole lot of beer and brats. So.
We got some ideas for show names. Scary Blank Berries. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
That's how about Shooting Blanks show? I kind of like that one. No?
No response.
All right. You know what? Here's the thing. The thing that I always tell people on that stuff is I've heard them all like 150 times before everybody thinks they're funny. Like Shooting Blanks, Blank Check, Fill in the Blanks, Drawing a Blank, Blank Stare. I've heard them
blank
all.
Blank Stares is good, though.
Blank Man, Gross Point Blank.
I don't know why I've heard we can't do that.
I know.
All right. Well, so Point Blank. So what if we went with Gross? You don't like Gross Point Blank?
I mean, look.
What about Disgusting Point Blank?
Sure, I'm
disgusting. Point blank.
That's a play on words, Joel. Damn, man.
Well, then pull the curtains back and get your play on Broadway, and then we'll. And once your posse's on Broadway, then your play will be there, and then Sir Mix-a-Lot will get there all the time before his. I like big butts, and I do not lie.
Somebody
cannot lie.
Somebody tweeted in or texted in Cougars equals Sun Bowl.
Oh, now Scott in Deer Park has more ammunition to fire at somebody else other than me.
Ouch,
because his crotchety little football life has taken a turn for the worse recently.
Every Cougar fan in the city just went grape lady. That hurts so bad.
And then
you did get a hate tweet. Of course, I got to read
it. Of course, we did. And of course, you have to read it.
It said, I'd rather hear baseball talk than Packers Wisconsin talk. I told you. I've told you this, though. He said, we get it. You're from Wisconsin. We're not. See, I said that.
I get it, but there's a lot of people that like it. Here
like
you go.
7 people is not a lot.
I'm telling you. Can I just tell you this right now? You are becoming Packers Notes guy because you are like blowing your own horn today like you should be in the orchestra pit.
Well, I had that rib removed for a reason.
Oh, boy. All right, so we'll get back to baseball here because we don't want to talk about the Packers.
No.
So Kipnis last night, 3 Chicago native Jason Kipnis, 3 of the Indians, 6 hits. So all of a sudden, the shoe's on the other foot. Cubs couldn't hit for most of the series. Their bats come alive, 3 bombs, grand slam. Russell comes alive. Rizzo hits a dinger. Bryant hits one in the first inning. They look like they are alive and kicking. It's the Indians you got to worry about because basically if you pitch around Kipnis, who else is going to beat you right now the way they're flailing? I thought Lindor was the guy that was going to be that guy. Didn't look great last night, but it's just one game. Kipnis on 3 days rest for the second time in the series, going up against Kyle Hendricks, the Major League ERA leader, who's been okay, I would say, in the postseason. Had a gem against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't want a slam dunk one way or the other in the pitching matchup either. I want this thing to go down to the bitter end, and I want to see some drama tonight because that's what Game 7s are supposed to be.
What game did Kipnis pitch?
He pitched the decider against the Dodger. Oh, Kipnis. No, not Kipnis pitch. You mean Hendricks pitch? Or Kluber?
Hendricks. I'm sorry. I said
Kipnis. Hendricks pitched the decider against the Dodgers, and then he pitched game 3.
Okay, so he's coming back on a little more rest.
Yeah, he's got more rest.
He's on full rest, right?
Yep.
Or is it four days?
Yeah.
So that does bode well for the Cubs. The fact that their bats are alive. I'm with you. I expected Lindor to do more last night. Going 0-for-3 isn't good, especially with Kipnis doing as well as he did in front of him. I don't know that the Cubs' offense isn't scary enough, I don't think, to make the Cubs feel like that this is one of those things that you could get out of hand really quick, especially with Hendricks going tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I do worry about if this game is close going into the later innings. I think it's definitely advantage Indians with that bullpen. The fact that it's not only better, it's a better bullpen than the Cubs have, but it's also rested. They didn't have to do a whole lot last night with you know, I mean, they had guys that were going, you know, 0.2 innings, 1 1/3 or whatever, but they didn't have to go to their studs. They didn't have to go to Miller at all. So I think this is advantage Indians overall. Like I said, they've got their best pitcher going, even mm-hmm. though he's going on 3 days rest. Like you said, he did it before. Their bullpen is rested, and they're at home. And I think that's going to matter in this game 7.
Yeah, home field matters more than people think, especially in a situation like this. But overall, I mean, in any playoff situation, you give, whether you do point spreads or however you do it, you do give the home field an advantage. The one thing I was shocked about was the weather wasn't a factor. I looked at a lot of fans in the stands and even Arrieta pitching last night in short sleeves going, man, that's a blessing in itself that in Cleveland in November, it wasn't butt-ass cold.
Both of these teams would be used to that, though, right? Or, I mean, the fact that they both
Chicago, absolutely. They both should be.
It'd be different if this was like the Astros up there in Cleveland and it was cold. But both of those teams should have been prepared for it if that's the case. And I don't know what the weather
is. I just liked it. I liked that it wasn't a big factor. Like, look, you know, everything, slate's clean, everybody's good, and you let the best team win. That's the way it should be.
I want to say when the Astros were in the World Series, that it was really cold up in Chicago when they were there.
Yeah, and then remember the it was a 15-inning game here, and I was there. That 15-inning game here started out where the temperature was really good. And by the time we got into the later innings, it was butt-ass cold in Houston that night. Too, and you know, people don't forget how close that series was. I mean, the White Sox ended up winning, and a guy like Jeff Blum, who by the way got back to me, said he hasn't heard and he can't tell us anything yet, but I guess he's still in the mix for Astros for next year.
Oh, good.
So hopefully,
maybe you
that
and Blummer,
works out
maybe,
for him.
Maybe you and Blummer can do it.
I would love to do it.
You should do it.
Well, you get on the phone with tell Barry Warner and to call his friend Reed Ryan, and you get on your people and have those people call my people.
Do you know how many connections I have? In this city?
More than Ma Bell is from what I've heard.
None.
Okay. So basically the same as AT&T.
I have zero.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
I got you. But your customer service is second to none because you're AT&T.
I deserve that.
And it's all recorded. So we got that going for us. So we should look forward to baseball. That should be fun. And in case you missed it, and I don't know what the deal is with all these coaches stepping down or making changes to coaching staffs mid-season now. I guess that's the new hip cool thing to do, the millennials. But Norv Turner, who everyone on this show has talked about as being the real quarterback whisperer, and one of two, guys like Sean Salisbury, Travis Johnson, Keenan McCardell, Barry, you and I have spoken about it. Hey, look, this is a guy that hands down gets credit for literally being the quarterback whisperer that Bill O'Brien's supposed to be. Well, the Minnesota Vikings and the fact that they've now lost two in a row and they look terrible against the Chicago Bears, you got to believe that was a mutual decision and it was back and forth. Norv Turner stepped down as the offensive coordinator of the Vikings, so he's out there. I see what guys like Nick Saban do at Alabama with the consultant role. I'm telling you what, man, I don't care what it takes, but if Norv Turner's willing to come here for the rest of the year and work with Brock Osweiler, especially now that you're on a bye week, get him here as fast as you can. And let him start taking a shot at trying to right the ship with Brock a little bit. Because all hands on deck, everybody to a man will agree, he has the skill set. He's got a lot of tools. It's just getting the fundamentals, getting back to the footwork, stop looking staring down receivers. I think Norv would be great to join this staff for the rest of the year.
But do we know why he stepped down? I mean, is there a...
We can investigate further. Basically,
because if it's health reasons, then I think it's
reasons at all. Well, I'll look it up right now as we get into this. But okay. I think that essentially, and everything that I was hearing about in terms of the report was that, you know, he cited, and again, I just pulled it up. He cites difference. It's in the best interest of the team. I have tremendous respect for Coach Mike Zimmer, our coaching staff, and our players. And at this time, I think it's in the best interest of the team to step down, Turner said in a statement. I thank the Will family for my time here in Minnesota. I want to see our players and coaches achieve success. He went on to say they had a difference in opinion in some of the things that was going down with the offense of the Vikings. So
it sounds like it was more of a philosophical.
Yeah, so essentially it's nothing health-related, which thank goodness, because you never want to hear anything like that. But right now, the fact that he's out there, I'm telling you what, man, and especially since there's money's no object with the McNairs, what could it hurt to bring in a guy like Norv Turner?
I'll tell you what it could hurt.
Let me hear it.
Bill O'Brien's ego.
Too bad.
Because then he would have to admit that maybe he's not the quarterback whisperer that he thinks he is.
Okay, but you can spin it any way you want. But here's
that's
how
assuming
you,
it goes well.
Right, but here's how you spin it. Here's how you spin it. I got so much on my plate, and I already got to worry about calling the plays, that I don't have as much time to focus on just one position as I'd like to. Norv allows me to do that.
Yeah, but you already got an OC that you took that job from. Calling plays. Well, so they'd be like, well, if you're so busy, then let him call plays again. And if he's not good enough, why do you have him as an OC to begin with?
If you're George Godsey, it's kind of like working at a bank. You get the big title, you don't get any money, and you just do your job. So guess what? You're not calling the plays anyway, so we'll give you the VP title. You sit at the big desk. But bottom line is, you don't have to worry about anything other than that, so just keep doing your job. So essentially, before we get any further down the line on Norv Turner baseball or other things, and I'm sure we'll still want to talk about Texans, I want to tell you about Houston Can Cars for Kids. It's a great program, and by the way, it's making a difference. We just got the numbers back for last month, and we again got a ton of people to donate cars, boats, motorcycles, trailers, and you know what that means? More Houston kids are getting a second chance at an education and to do great things and make something of themselves, and that's because of people like you. If you're looking around your yard or your storage unit or somewhere in your garage and you see a trailer or a motorcycle or a boat or a car, it doesn't even have to be working, you can turn that into a positive experience for children trying to get an education in the city of Houston, Texas. All you got to do is call 713-225-4226. That's Houston Can Cars for Kids. They'll do the rest. They'll come see you. They'll process all the paperwork. It's all free of charge. And you get a tax deduction. So if you're going to sell it anyway and sell it for parts or sell it for whatever you think it's worth, and you would make the deal that way, well, guess what? You just get a tax deduction that's probably going to be the same or more, and it still works out for you. But more importantly, what it does do on top of that is it works out for the kids because they take that car, that vehicle, that trailer, and they turn it into money. Money which they turn back into the community and they give to kids who maybe need hot meals or a bus ticket or books or something for school, and they give them a second chance to make an impression and to get an education. It's a great program, and it works both ways. It works for you. It takes something away from you at no charge that you were going to get rid of anyway, and you get money in the form of a tax deduction. It works for the kids because it puts money in the program to allow kids to get the resources they need to make something of themselves. So call Houston Can Academy, 713-225-4226. Tell them you heard it here.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry till 4. Hey, I got a special guest, Barry, that's going to join us in about an hour.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I think you're going to like this one. The only thing I regret for your benefit is the fact that he won't be in studio. But I have an inkling? Uh-huh. That this guy is going to be a quote-unquote friend of the show, which is going to be very, very cool.
Yeah.
But let's just say, because the discussion this week, we were talking about Andre and Arian and Hall of Famers. Well, this guy's a Hall of Famer, so that's going to be cool. Nick, it's right down your alley because it's someone that I think you respect.
Very much looking forward to it.
So it'll be cool. So at 2:30-ish, make sure you tune into that because... we're going to have a special guest that's going to be able to break down a lot of things that you care about here in H-Town, so that's cool. We talked North Turner. We talked World Series. So you are saying, Barry, no to bringing North Turner in as a consultant?
No. I'm not saying no. I'm not disagreeing or agreeing. I'm just saying I don't think it would happen for a couple of reasons, and one of those being that Bill O'Brien's probably like, I got this. I don't need North Turner.
Well, so far,
I got this.
So far, he thinks he's had this, and look how it's turned out. And
well,
with all that being said, you're still in first place, so you can.
I was gonna say,
and you're on a bye week,
5-3, leading their division.
So you got a chance to straighten this out even further, mm-hmm. so that people get off their main level of concern, which is the quarterback and the offense. So that's why I say bring in North Turner.
Okay.
By the way, El Jefe, I'm gonna bury you, what you do to me, I'm going to pull up, not like literally dig a hole and stick you
I'm
under
like,
it.
What?
But yeah.
What?
No, but like I'm looking at tweets and El Jefe is very upset you didn't jump in with the Joel Blank bandwagon of unlimited phenomenal fan support that decided to bombard at Packers notes for being a puss. So he was upset about that because Travis lambasted the guy last night. It was fantastic because the guy's soft.
Well, one, I didn't see you guys going at it last night. Because
I didn't go at it. Yeah, everybody else did. They just kept including me on the fact because I can't go at a guy that blocks me.
Yeah,
and I've never gone at him, but I do know this too because my sister was listening yesterday. Uh-huh. She texted me after she goes, "Tell your partner too." She goes, first of all, don't worry about who slept with your sister." She said, but at the same time, she goes, "I'm watching this guy. Anytime if he ever dares to say anything about you, she goes, I'm all over it."
Who, I go, me?
No.
This other guy.
Yeah, the Michael Rodney, the Ad Packers notes
guy.
Hey,
tell sis to calm down because it's an expression.
It's
an expression. When you like, I'll give you an example of how I use it. John Wessling used to be on the station doing Houston Game Day on Sundays.
Right.
And then I took over his spot. And John is a mentor of mine in comedy. And I told him, doing your show, I feel like I'm sleeping with your sister. Like, it's a weird thing that would happen between friends. It's just a saying, Joe. I've never even seen your sister. Maybe.
She'll kill me for saying this, but it's probably better if you don't.
She's not good
enough
for me.
She'd kill me for saying
this. Why?
Hey, you know. We got that out of the way.
Well,
but by the way, feel free to lambaste at Packers notes for being a puss. That's fine. So Sean Lundy brought up a point, and I want to give you a counterpoint on someone else. But we mentioned Hall of Fame. We talked about Andre, and we talked about yesterday even with Quinton Demps. Regardless of whether he's a first balloter or not, most people think he'll get in. Sean Lundy, who is on Twitter, who I'm familiar with, said that Arian Foster, he made the comparison between Arian Foster and Gale Sayers, said Foster's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but is a Hall of Famer. I could not disagree more. I don't think Arian Foster, in terms of the longevity of his career, put up the numbers that make him a legitimate candidate to even be a finalist for the Hall of Fame. I think he'll maybe get his number retired by the Texans. I think he'll be honored at some point by the Texans. He is the all-time leading rusher for the Texans. But it's, again, that's a small sample size too, because it's a franchise that is very in the very fetal stages of their existence. Mm-hmm. So it's not a lot of guys you can put him up against. Dominic Davis got hurt early in his career and didn't play anymore. So there's not a lot of guys you can put him up and say, well, it should have been what, who? I mean, you look at the guys that you have a chance. Amon Green? No, it's not going to be Amon Green. And here's the stat that I wanted to bring you in terms of Andre, which I wasn't aware of, Barry, but it even makes you question Andre getting in. Ready for this one?
Okay.
Isaac Bruce. Okay.
Uh-huh.
From The Greatest Show on Turf.
Sure.
More yards than Andre Johnson. More touchdowns than Andre Johnson. And guess what? Wasn't even a finalist last year in Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's not
balloting.
Good.
So that doesn't bode well for Andre Johnson.
No.
As dominant as he was for this franchise, as respected as he was across the league, because it became a pass-happy league in the last 10 years or so, and because the Rams and the Colts in specifically, and those receivers, put up just ridiculous numbers, it pushes some of the greats and some of the big numbers. I mean, look, our own Keenan McCardell, when he retired, was ninth all-time in receptions and yards. Jimmy Smith was sixth. Now, because of all the pass-happiness in the last couple of years, they've slipped down to like 17 and 19 or something like that. So it's the game has changed, the style of play has changed, and with that, it hurts a lot of receivers because they say, well, everybody came in catching passes. Terrell Owens still isn't even in.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean,
that was the point we made yesterday.
Yeah.
He's got way better numbers than Andre Johnson, and it's still not, wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think, though, the difference is between, at least between Arian Foster and Andre Johnson, for me is Arian Foster was one of the best running backs in the league for a year or two. And I think that Andre Johnson was, you know, him and Calvin Johnson were two of the best wide receivers in the NFL for a much longer period of time than that. And I think that bodes well, much more so for Andre Johnson.
Okay.
And I don't think Arian Foster is.
Let me throw this at you then, because you brought it up. It's a great point.
Okay.
Calvin Johnson, Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You said that emphatically.
I think so.
But there's a guy.
I always felt like he was a little bit better than Andre Johnson. He caught more touchdown passes.
I was going to say.
He was more clutch than Andre Johnson.
So, but there, you said it like emphatically. There's a guy that goes to Sean's point then because of the fact that he cut his career short. He kind of Jim Browned it. Uh-huh. Not because of any physical limitations. He just decided he was done with the game. And Barry Sanders is another one. Walked away early. I look at that and say, I'm with you. I mean, because he was the most dominant player at his position when he was at his position for most of his career.
Yep.
I think Arian Foster was that.
Debate for a couple of years, him or Andre Johnson. But yeah, I agree.
So he's definitely in. We both agreed Dre gets in at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But your thought on Arian is?
I don't think he'll get in.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think he's got the stats, the longevity. Arian Foster was never a dominant running back.
Like yeah, I'm with you.
He had a year where he was, but that's couple, sort of Matt Schaub, right?
Yep, yep.
Matt Schaub had a great year. Arian Foster had a couple of great years, but he was never just the most dominant player in the NFL, I felt like.
Shout out to one of my best friends listening up in the frozen tundra, Sean Reynolds, listening in Wisconsin, loving the fact that we refer to it as butt-ass cold, which is something we would say up there in the Midwest, don't you know, you betcha. And if you want to be a part of the show, we haven't mentioned this yet, but we'd love the fact that you join in. The regulars are already hot on Twitter and on text because they're coming at me, which is always a great moment for Barry. But if you want to reach us, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at No Hit Nick, we're here on Twitter. You can call us, 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. You can text us, you can call us. And if you bring a point and you don't have cowardly confidence, we'll get you in on the show because we want you a part of the living room, want you a part of the experience, and we want you coming back for more ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry with more spirited discussion about sports, from time to time entertainment, comedy, because Barry likes to make a fool of me, and what you guys want to talk about. So with our finger on the pulse of all of social media, from texting to tweeting, and by the way, I don't do this enough, and Nick and I talked about this, and we need to encourage you to get your people to do this as well. So far, so good. The show's doing pretty well, and it can do even better. If you guys would download the app and would go on ESPN975.com and listen while you're at your computers, the more people we can get that make it a ritual to do these kind of things and listen to us, the better things will get around here and the better for you guys, too. We really appreciate doing what we do, and we would love to have you guys be a daily part of it. So just throw that out there. If you get a chance, you can take the app, download the app, take your phone with you. Most cars, with the exception of some that Nick drive on weekends, have a Bluetooth capability, so you just take the phone with you.
My car has Bluetooth.
And we go wherever you go. Barry fits in an attaché case. Travis fits in a large suitcase. And you can take us wherever you go. I mean, if they're like beachy, warm destinations, we prefer that.
I love the attaché case.
Yeah, because you know we've gone back to... Yeah.
Back to week one.
Yeah, that was
like
a long time ago.
Day two, I think it was.
Yeah, it's like years ago, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Speaking of cars, somebody said, hey, why is Michael Rodney's vehicle at Joel's house?
Because I called Cars for Kids and they're coming to pick it up right now, regardless of whether he still drives it or not.
I'm having a bad day. Can I just tell you that?
You are?
I am.
Why?
I'm having a horrible day.
This is what you do in a comedy routine. You go with the bit and you go, why, Barry? Why are you having a bad day?
First of all, I got my water bill.
Again? It's
another biggie?
$1 million?
$334. I can't do this. I make radio money now. I can't do this.
I still have a hard time fathoming.
It's killing me.
How a water bill's that high, man.
Just, I gotta
are you watering the yard that much?
Yeah, I am. It's like,
good Lord, move to Wisconsin. See. You never have to do it.
Let's see how many gallons Daddy used. Quite a bit. Oh, goodness. 60,000 gallons of water.
Oh, okay.
To water the yard. That's not good.
God, you might as well just have a pool.
Yeah, no kidding. But also, last night, while I was watching the game, If I sound like I'm talking funny, which I might, like,
no, people normally will tell you when you're doing that. Sure. They make the comparisons at that point.
But last night I sneezed and bit my tongue at the same time. So I've got like this large cut on the side of my tongue, which is really difficult if you talk all day long.
You doing Bill Murray's Take Me Out to the Ball Game next?
Yeah.
With the Sylvester the Cat?
And for some reason, I can't stop itching. I have no
idea.
No, like my whole body, not just like in one area. Like, I don't know. I don't have eczema because you would see it.
You got junk funk?
No, it's not even down there.
I created that term for Travis this week, by the way.
It's not even down there that I'm itching. It's like my back, my just everywhere just itches. And it's like,
you might have watered some poison ivy. And it got to you.
It's very possible, but I don't know what the hell is going on, but it's driving me insane. I don't know if it's like allergies or just like a skin. I have no idea.
Go bathe in hydrocortisone.
And yeah, that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might help you. You know what? And in our bathroom, you could probably do that.
Oh, God. Here?
Yeah.
This? Oh.
Enjoy that.
God, no.
Yeah.
This is the worst bathroom ever.
So, by the way, El Jefe's feeling real comfortable with his bonding with our show in particular, even though he's been loyal to other shows too, and you know, we don't draw the line. But at the same time, now he says, who can sneak me and my brother into the Rockets Spurs game next Saturday night? I don't know who's directed at, but Nick is the man that probably has more connections than anyone over at the Big Tundra.
I don't know about sneaking him in. Would love to help you try.
You're getting him tickets or what?
What do I look like a guy who has a lot of tickets?
I think you look like a guy that's got more connections than Barry.
I think you look like a guy that lost a fight. Can I know
I'm
what happened?
Not bringing that up. See, I wasn't bringing
can
that
I
up.
Know what happened
actually
here?
When he started bringing up the whole, you know, I've had a bad day and I'm itching all over. I figured that was what he was going to use to kind of transition.
So you always come at me and say that I throw you under the bus, but I don't. I don't
yeah,
do it.
Do.
You know what?
Do.
Your fear.
Actually, you mentioned it first.
No. I just said with your good eye. With your good eye, but that's just, that's like, no, because with your good eye is just you and I speaking like
good
constantly,
eye.
Like we had
the Popeye?
We had an inside joke.
Right.
Okay? But I wasn't going to call it out. I told you this. You called me last night. We were talking about this, and you were fearful Barry was going to bring it up yesterday. We couldn't see you because we were on location. But I just said, if you didn't want to talk about it, we don't have to talk about it. But he just went right there.
That's all good. We can talk about it.
I think it's
terrible. I want to know. Listen. If I'm on a show with you and you show up with a black eye and you don't think I'm not going to ask
it's
about
not
it,
a, hair, and it's not a black eye. I mean, this thing, the white part is red.
You got to be careful.
The pupil is black.
Like, I don't want people to think we're saying like you can't show up with a black guy. That's a whole different. Like no one cares about
that's
that.
That's what you say at your shows.
Yeah, you showed up with a black eye.
Yeah,
and,
a black eye.
Yeah, what happened?
See, okay, Nick, are you comfortable telling the story?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was already told
he's got
once.
To.
I mean,
because this whole—that's right. Granado sold you out last show, but the thing is, to me too, this is my old neighborhood, so to speak. Although I lived on the other side of Main Street, but Midtown's getting pretty bad.
Does it hurt?
No, not right now.
Does
my jaw's a
little. Does it hurt
sore.
Like you bit your tongue when you sneezed? Because that hurts.
It kind of feels like that. He actually noticed it when we were walking, like in the commercial break. Because the guy, when he hit me, I didn't get knocked out, but I fell to the ground. So I fell on the other side. So it looks like I'm dipping.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought you were dipping, right?
But
all right,
I'm
so
not.
Let's set the table, Nick, because for the people that don't know, we know that the blank man army is tight because we already went after Michael Rodney,
yeah.
And we took care of some business on Twitter. So we can get some people that can do some things in Midtown. So let's set the stage. Friday night, work's over. Friday night, just got paid. You and Johnny Kemp, you can play the song Bumping Out. And you're out with your boy and his girl and had a few pops, but not many. You had a couple beers,
right?
And you guys got a little bit of the hunger bug going. So there's a food truck, and you're heading towards the food truck, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, so I was just following my buddy and his date to the food truck. And I was standing about 6 or 7, maybe even 8 feet away, because I was looking at the food truck menu. But then when I look to my left, I see my buddy, who I'll just call Sam. I don't want to give his name.
Correct.
He just throws this elbow at this guy that apparently was talking trash to him, but every time he talked trash to him, he kept like walking behind him, like he kept trying to circle behind him. And I guess Sam got sick of it and threw an elbow. That's like right when I saw it, like right when I looked to my left, I see an elbow thrown.
So you didn't see the trash talk that led up to the elbow, you just saw
I
the
did
elbow.
Not. I don't even know what was said between them, because you know, Sam is kind of a social guy. A lot of times I see him talk to people, I'm just thinking he's having a conversation. I didn't think he was having an argument.
So essentially, he throws a bow.
Yep.
And then what? All parties separate, or do they tussle? Or
I thought we separated. I felt like it got de-escalated because I pulled Sam away and he kind of tried to follow him, but I kind of separated the two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what aggravated the guy when I tried to separate
him. Because you put hands on him too to separate?
Well, it was like one arm on Joe, on, said his name.
Oh,
oops. One name
too
on.
Too late.
Yeah, you got the first half of it, but yeah, one hand on Sam and one hand on
Joseph.
Yeah,
you gave it away by saying half of it.
So yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
But yeah, and then I felt like the situation was de-escalated. I went back in line, stood there, and next thing you know, I just got clipped. So I didn't get knocked out.
So he came out of nowhere, blindsided you, sucker punched you, and caught you in the eye.
Yeah.
Did you cry? Did you cry?
No, I was just.
Were you stunned?
Were you stunned?
I was extremely stunned because I didn't get knocked out. I immediately got back up, but I couldn't.
You couldn't get your wits about you to go after him?
They said he ran. Like, I saw somebody running, but I didn't know if it was him.
Okay, but here's the thing. So give me the description of this guy, because of the fact that you saw him because you knew he was agitating your buddy, correct?
Right.
So big guy, small guy?
He was definitely bigger than me, but he was not bigger than Sam or than Joseph. But
big
yeah.
like who? Big like
Sam
like
Joseph?
Joseph is probably like 220 maybe, 210. He's a big dude, I think.
Okay.
But the other guy was probably
so
close
Barry,
to me.
So Barry is actually
probably.
Taking online artist courses right now to try and be a sketch artist. So give us the breakdown of what this dude looked like. Because in Midtown, we want the...
Oh, it's in Midtown. You can just say douchey and then you'd know.
Yeah,
exactly
we want the blank
to,
man army
really
to go after this guy,
like.
Too.
I honestly can't remember what he looked like.
Well, then you had more than two beers.
No, I really don't. I mean, I saw him for like 30 seconds between the push.
Did he have jeans with white stitching on them?
Or did he have white jeans? Because you guessing. Might be unaware of the fact that Barry punched you.
No, I want to say he wore jeans and a red shirt, something like that. But I can't.
So an Affliction shirt with like with like blue jeans with white stitching and a white belt.
You know, when I first saw you, I pictured you in an Affliction shirt. Don't tell me you don't own at least two or three Affliction shirts.
I have
shirts.
Zero Affliction
What was the other? What's the one
I may
with
have
the,
had one back in the day when I covered MMA.
You see?
Hardy.
You
what was
admitted
Ed
later.
Ed Hardy. I bet you had I've some Ed never, Hardy t-shirts, no. too, to go I've with those white jeans on a Friday night.
I was given a couple of tap-out shirts that I wore, and I may have bought one Affliction shirt.
There's no way you wore tap-out shirts and didn't transition into Affliction. No
now,
way.
Now, you're forgetting he is a strong safety.
Listen, don't try to change the subject here, Nick.
I'm not.
But Barry is a strong safety, as he compared himself favorably to Quentin Demps yesterday.
Yeah. Same body. Same
Q
body.
Q Demps, that's right.
Exact same body.
All right.
Me and Quentin Demps.
Not the same speed.
Same.
I want you guys to accuse me of changing the subject, so I'm not going to play the music to go to break until you guys are ready.
No. So
it's not you guys. You always rope me in.
Yeah,
he's
so
inquiring minds want to know.
Stop crying.
I'm not crying.
So you got sucker punched in the face. Did you get up and like just go get your food? Did you?
He already said he was stunned.
I went home, dude. I went home.
You drove?
Well, my buddy, what I did is I actually drove and I parked here at the station, and then I Ubered to Midtown.
Okay.
Because I knew I wasn't going to drink that much, but I didn't want to deal with the parking situation and
right.
all that.
Okay.
But then my friend drove me back here, and then I drove home. So,
and
yeah.
by the time you got in your car, you had your wits about you again?
Yeah. I was still bleeding, but my wits was, I was still there.
But how was your eye?
Is it tender now? Is it hurt?
I was going to say, but how was your eye?
A little bit. My eye's fine. I got to check the very
No, you
next
said
day.
You were still bleeding. I just didn't know how your eye was as opposed to that. All righty, so there's our social scene.
There's our
Nick, will you be hanging out in Midtown this weekend again?
Probably not.
That's probably a smart move on your part. That's the first time I can actually say that without some kind of a chuckle. You are making a smart decision, my friend. You're not trying to fight. You're not trying to look for more trouble, and you're staying out of an area in which you had some trouble.
Hey,
I think that's good.
Shout out to Blaine. He said he's listening on the TuneIn app.
That away.
Go, Blaine.
And tell people you know to do the same, because we appreciate that more than you know. So join us every day. 1 to 4, get the app, listen online, ESPN975.com, or the old-fashioned way, just dial us up on your radio. And if you have a transistor, I think those still work too. We're here till 4, special guest at 2:30. It's a Hall of Famer. You don't want to miss it, ESPN975.